It's Wednesday, July 23rd, and that means it's time for another episode of Shoot It. Welcome to Shooting It with Jamie K. I'm Jamie Corrales, the author of Disorderly and The Extractor, and the director of Practice Makes Perfect. Happy to be here for yet another episode. Tonight on the show, we have the guys behind Slasher Studios, Kevin Summerfield and Austin Bosley. Their latest feature film is called Dismembering Christmas, and they're funding the entire movie through Kickstarter. So if you want to go over to kickstarter.com right now and search Dismembering Christmas, I think they're about halfway to their goal. You can pledge right now, help them finance the movie, and snatch up rewards that you'll only be able to get for a limited time only. I think they're giving away producer credits, DVDs, Blu-rays, all kinds of stuff. And while you're there, head on over to the Practice Makes Perfect Kickstarter. You can go to the search bar, again, type in Practice Makes Perfect, and we have some cool rewards as well. You can get involved in that. We need quite a bit of help in financing this movie because we have thousands of dollars to go and we're running out of time. So donate to both campaigns if you can. And pretty soon we're going to have Kevin and Austin on the line, as well as my co-host Mike, who, you know, he's been on the show for fucking ages now. That's no surprise there. So why don't I call up Mike right now? We'll get into things and then I'll give those guys a ring. How's it going, Mike?
Hi.
Hi. You ready for tonight's show?
Sure.
Sure?
Yeah, sure.
You're being short. here's how it's supposed to go. I'm supposed to go, hey, how's it going, Mike? Welcome back to shooting. And then you go, oh, how's it going, Jamie? And then I'm like, oh, what's new with you, Mike? And then you update.
Well, I don't have a job. Well, I kind of do. I start the 27th. Back at my old job at Marshall's. I'm just going to do it as monotone as I can. I'm moving this spring to Brooklyn.
Ooh.
That's a thing.
Now, where'd you get the money for that?
I don't have the money yet, but it's happening. Yes. One of those situations.
Yes. I'm moving to Los Angeles next month. Yeah.
That's great.
I don't have the money for that either.
Oh, do you? Yeah. That's awesome. Is Hans moving here as well?
Apparently. Hans apparently wants to get in and shoot the shit.
No, I don't want to shoot.
No. It's a plan now. We have to meet up with Hans at some destination, a rendezvous point.
What, he can't come to like the Americas in general?
So yeah, we're going to have Kevin Summerfield, Austin Bosley, and Steve Goltz, two screenwriters, one director. Their latest movie, and I was just telling the audience this, Dismembering Christmas.
I wish him the best of luck, you know. Do you have any money?
Is that one of your questions for them, or?
Yeah, can I start a Kickstarter for, like, to fill up my gas tank?
There was Kickstarter for, someone wanted to make potato salad, and they put, like, a $5 goal, and they wound up raising about $10,000. So, maybe.
I would just say, I read that article, and then he's like, he threw like a potato salad like party, like rented out like a venue and everything. I would have said, fuck that. I would just keep all the rest of it. Can you do that? Like, you don't have to like give the money back to everybody. You can just be like, all right, I'm gonna cover the $5 for that, and fuck you, I'm gonna pay some bills with this.
Well, I mean, the thing is with Kickstarter, you know, of course there are rewards for every donation. So you have to fulfill those, otherwise you're kind of legally obligated to give them.
I'll mail you an envelope with a fucking smiley face and then my name saying thank you. Because I paid with gas today with fucking, like, coins.
Your
like,
mouth, though.
I opened my mouth and a nozzle went in. It's just the fucking worst not having anything. At least I live with my parents, I don't have to pay rent, so there's that. Like, I went to Moe's today and I was like, how much is one taco? Just one. I only have $5. What can this get me? And she was like, one taco will be enough. One taco at Moe's is $3.20.
So with the remainder of your money, you spent that on tacos.
I'm hungry. Spent it on a taco.
One taco.
Yeah. And then I found like French fries no one was eating and I ate those.
You live near Atlantic City. Why wouldn't you just take that $5 bill and go to a casino?
You have to be 21 to gamble.
Ah, shit. Well, yeah, I mean, would you even really get carded though?
Yeah, you don't get card. You can go down to the slots, like certain like slot machines you can still smoke at and you can just order drinks. But when it comes to the whole fucking, once you get, let's say I win, right? I need to cash in my chips. I'm going to be carded when I'm cashing in my chips because I look young and all that fun stuff. All right, bring in the guests.
Yeah.
Where they are. Favorite type of Christmas dinner? Go.
You really should just ask Christmas questions the entire
Christmas
time.
Christmas? Is that what you just said?
Shut the fuck up.
You really should ask Christmas questions. All right, little Jamie, I'll do that. What else you want? Sport? A left fire truck.
They're doing pretty well right now. They're up to 5,000 out of 10,000. We're stuck at 1,300.
Bah! That's all a bunch of baloney. My beard is back now. My beard is like, it's like Kenny's almost like, it's, my beard is like, it feels like black people hair.
Now, hold on. What do you mean black people hair?
What black people have? Black people hair. That's what I mean.
So you're saying all black people are all the same?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm saying everybody. Every single one.
Speaking of Kenny, he wants you on his show within the next couple of weeks.
He has a show?
Yes.
Yeah. What does he talk about?
He talks about, well, yesterday he talked about that black guy who got choked to death in New York. And we also talked about Practice Makes Perfect.
It's being filmed?
Yes.
Where was that green screen? Like, when I was there, where the fuck was that?
What would we have needed the green screen for?
Anything.
Just film the rest of the movie on that. Here's what we'll do. I'll mail it to you, and you can just prop up your camera, stand in front of it, and I'll give you the rest.
If it requires, that is $0, sure. You're telling me I don't have to leave my house and spend money? All right, deal.
That's the plan if I can't finance this movie with the Kickstarter.
Hey, green screen. Buy the paint. I'll find a wall.
Paint.
I'll paint. It'll be all shitty. So Slasher Studios, what does Slasher be? You guys like horror movies?
I did his show yesterday.
I'm going to go in depth with Jamie K.
Oh, yeah. He said, and I quote, that I am one of the most talented members of my generation.
They're like,
that's on iTunes.
AIDS researchers who are more talented than you. They're scientists. There's like some kid. He's probably like 12. He's saving lives. You write books.
No, I'm the most talented member of my generation.
You are the only person. I'm at the lowest low. I don't have anything.
And on that note, I think we're going to call up Kevin, and then we're going to add this guy, Austin.
What if I be like really mean and confrontational? Yeah, hi.
Hello.
How's it going? Welcome to Shooting It.
Pleasure to be on here. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. For those who are unaware, Kevin Summerfield, and is Steve on the line as well?
No, it's actually Austin. I believe that they were going to call him too.
Yeah, I'm going to be calling Austin just a sec. I'm just providing your introduction. Kevin is the screenwriter of the upcoming horror film Dismembering Christmas. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And of course, my co-host Mike Malkiewicz is here with us. Mike, say hello.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing great.
Sound it, Mike. All right, why don't we add Austin to the chat?
Let's get this show started.
And I'm calling up Austin right now.
Hello?
Hi, Austin. Welcome to Shooting It. How's it going?
Not bad. How you doing?
Doing pretty well. We have Kevin on the line with you, and my co-host Mike Malkiewicz is here as well. Mike, say hello again.
Hi, Austin.
Hey, how you doing?
All righty.
You gotta pump up that enthusiasm, Mike. Come on.
You're not getting anything out of me.
Mike, he's had a very long day. So
let's get it started.
Why don't we talk about your upcoming film, Dismembering Christmas, which is the second feature film to come out of Slasher Studios that's full length. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, yeah, I'll jump right in. So, Dismembering Christmas, yeah, like you said, it's the second feature from Slasher Studios. Came to me as a brainchild. I always wanted to make a Christmas-themed Friday the 13th movie. I said to myself, I might never get that chance, and that's what kind of started the genesis behind Dismembering Christmas, was that I wanted a Christmas-themed slasher film, and I felt like we hadn't gotten a really good one recently. So that's kind of what started the ball rolling with the movie.
Very cool. So I also want to gauge, where did your interest in horror originally develop from? Like for me, I remember being frightened by, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark back in the early 90s, and that's what got me into horror. So what was it for you two that kind of hooked you into this genre?
Well, I know for me, I honestly can't really remember a time I didn't watch, like, horror movies and monster movies and stuff. I remember seeing stuff like Jurassic Park and Army of Darkness when I was really little, and I remember watching A Nightmare on Elm Street, but I've just always watched sort of whatever, and I kind of have always gravitated towards horror stuff.
And what about you, Kevin?
Well, my first experience with the horror genre was when I was 5 years old. I stayed up late at night and I watched the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre with my parents. I had nightmares for days. I couldn't sleep. It was just absolutely terrifying. And after that one experience, I realized this was the genre for me, because no other genre out there kind of gave me that thrill. Even the kindergarten self of me, I knew this is what I wanted to watch. And as I grew older, I knew these were the kind of movies I wanted to make.
So how did you guys link up? Because I know that Kevin and Steve had made a couple of films prior to their last movie, Don't Go to the Reunion. And then, Austin, you got brought into the fold for this. So how did you guys get together and eventually collaborate on Dismembering Christmas?
Well, I had a buddy of mine had mentioned to me that he's like, these guys, Slasher Studios, are going to review the short film I made. And he linked me to it. And I watched their short films and I was like, hey, these are pretty cool. And I just kind of started following Kevin on Twitter and on Facebook and stuff. And then from there, we just talked and kind of became friends. And then, with this, it's just, I was talking to Kevin and he said, he might need someone to come on board and direct the movie. And, it just went that way.
Now, what kind of experience did you have prior to Dismembering Christmas? Were you making short films at all, or, maybe even like fan editing or anything like that?
Oh yeah, no. I've been making short films probably since I was like 8 or 9. Messing around with a camera, and it just evolved into making full-on short films. My buddies and I have a web series we do called Survival of the Dumbest that we're working on the second season right now. And so we're always just kind of shooting things. I have some stuff online, but I have tons of other stuff that I actually just have sitting on my computer. But I've been making movies forever.
I also want to get what your angle is going to be when it comes to directing this film. We all have our influences. Are you looking at any, past feature film franchises or, just directing styles that you may want to model how you shoot Dismembering Christmas with?
Well, like Kevin said, it's definitely it feels like it has the fun of like a Friday the 13th movie. And so I'm, of course, going to be watching those, and I would love to make a Friday the 13th movie as well. So it's perfect. But I'm also like a huge, ridiculously huge Evil Dead fan. Sam Raimi is one of my favorite directors, but I like directors of all sorts, of all genres, but definitely I get a lot of influence from him and people like that. But I think Friday the 13th is the big one, but of course other, Christmas slasher movies, like Black Christmas and Silent Night, Deadly Night and stuff like that. But I'm hoping that this, is our own thing, and it's sort of different while still feeling, it'll have the fun of other things you've seen, but it'll be new and it'll be its own thing, hopefully.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah. So you guys have a pretty good looking cast, I have to say. Definitely the type of roundup you would see, getting slaughtered by a Jason Voorhees type. So how did casting come about, and why don't you tell us a little bit about the actors involved and what kind of characters they'll be playing?
With our cast that we assembled for this movie, it's really interesting because there's like one or two that neither one of us have worked with before, but everybody else I've either worked with before. We have two returning cast members from Don't Go to the Reunion, and Austin's worked with them a bunch on either his web series or other short films. So we kind of have an idea of what this cast can bring, and we kind of wanted, we wanted that good-looking cast, but at the same time, they're not, gorgeous supermodels. We think these are going to be very likable characters and very believable characters and people that you're not going to want to see die. But without giving too much away, I will say that when they do die, it's very grisly and very gruesome.
Nice. So where did you get the idea initially? I know you said that you've always wanted to make like a Friday the 13th type slasher film during, you know, the Christmas time. But when did like the idea become concrete for you, Kevin, to script Dismembering Christmas and put that into production?
Well, for us, I mean, since the Friday the 13th remake, reboot, whatever you want to call it, I mean, they've been talking about, you know, doing a sequel to that. And they were kind of running over all these ideas. Now, possibly, it might be found footage in 3D. I don't get it at all, but, I mean, that's a whole other story. But, you know, we... because me and Steve both wrote the screenplay together, and working on it, you know, we just really said, you know, what is missing from slashers today that we want to see a return of? So, you know, we modeled all of these deaths that can be done, you know, with wonderful, practical, brutal effects. And, you know, we wanted a return to, you know, these likable, believable characters that you don't want to see die. And, you know, there is a little bit of an aspect of a whodunit with this. And, you know, without giving too much away for our last movie, Don't Go to the Reunion, that was much more of a meta, very self-aware slasher. And with this one, I mean, there's kind of little in-jokes here and there, but it's not kind of that overt in tone, whereas this one is more of the straight slasher, like something that you would have come out of the 80s. And, you know, that's kind of been the high point of the genre. And that's what we really want to recreate.
Yeah, I would certainly say that you guys have been doing a good job of kind of, again, paying homage to that whole genre of, you know, filmmaking. So you guys do have a Kickstarter currently going on. How many days are left in that?
I believe we have like 25 days left. I know our last day is August 15th.
Yeah, and you guys have already made it like halfway. There's been tremendous support behind Dismembering Christmas. It's been great. So what kind of rewards are up for grabs right now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff. There's a lot of the stuff you would probably expect. You can get a DVD if you... donate a certain amount, obviously. We have posters. You can get a thank you on the pages. You can get IMDb credit for a certain amount. And then, of course, producer credits, a thank you at the end of the credits of the movie, links to watch the movie before it comes out. What, am I forgetting something, Kevin?
Yeah, well, I think like the biggest one that I'm most excited about, which, I mean, it's a higher backer amount, but... We have one specific, and I'm not going to give anything away here, but I will say that there's one weapon that we're creating directly for this film. And the highest backer reward package, if you pledge that, you will get this weapon that was used on screen to kill a bunch of people. So hopefully that'll go to a hardcore slasher fan, because I think that you're really going to like it once you see what it is.
So you guys definitely have signature ideas to associate with the movie. Like you said, you know, you have a certain weapon in mind. So I'm also curious to know, have you ever considered potentially creating kind of an independent franchise through Slasher Studios? Like, again, you know, you're big fans of Jason, the, you know, entire horror lineup of the 1980s. Have you considered maybe reusing the same killer over multiple films?
It's definitely something that's possible. I mean, we've kind of talked about it back and forth, me and Steve at least, because our first slasher short was Teddy. And, you know, if there's one question that we get asked probably more than anything, it's that, when are you guys going to make a Teddy feature? And it's definitely something that, you know, might come about in the future. I would love to be part of a good slasher franchise that I thought had a really memorable killer. And yeah, I mean, that's something that I would never rule out. But yeah, I mean, kind of right now we're just kind of seeing where this goes. But as opposed to kind of doing a franchise, I would totally be open for that.
Yeah, I have stuff that I've written. that obviously is separate from Slasher Studios, but is could definitely have sequels and be a franchise, and that would be awesome. I would love that.
Yeah, I can definitely see the appeal of wanting to establish kind of like your own fictional universe, so to speak, and characters that can be, of course, you know, crossed over with other movies and continued. What do you guys think of modern horror as it is? Because I know you want to reach back and kind of resurrect a bit of that 1980s gold, but I just want to get your opinions on the current state of horror cinema.
I think that definitely when it comes to the big theaters, you know, the mainstream sort of stuff that a lot of the studios put out, I tend to dislike a lot of it. But some people would just flat out say, oh, everything sucks. But that's not true, because there's so much cool stuff on VOD or just coming out on Blu-ray, DVD, that, or sometimes even limited release in theaters. If you live, like I live in Los Angeles, so I get to see a lot of that stuff. And there's a lot of cool stuff and a lot of cool people making stuff that everyone would love. It's just everyone's not hearing about it. Well, sometimes I see a movie that went straight to DVD or Blu-ray, and I'm like, if they had released this in theaters, this would probably be a franchise, or, you know, people would want to see sequels to this. But a lot of the stuff that the studios put out, particularly the remakes, obviously, they don't look real to me. You know, the houses are always super clean and the kids are always super gorgeous. And it's like, this, I don't want to watch a CW show. Like, I want to see
some ugly kids.
Unless it's Supernatural, like, I like that. But everything else, oddly enough, the horror movies that get put out look like the other CW shows. But I don't know. It's, you know, there's good and there's bad. And I'm sure, you know, I didn't live through the 80s, but I'm sure there was good and there was bad then, too. And hopefully by the time we get out of, you know, the next 10 years or so, we'll be like, look back and see that there was a lot of really cool stuff.
And what do you think, Evan?
I would agree with a lot of that. You know, I think that there are some kind of diamonds in the rough out there. I mean, if I were to kind of give a shout out to one slasher that I absolutely loved, my favorite horror movie of last year actually was a little independent slasher called Stitches, which is actually on Netflix streaming right now. And it was a lot of fun. It was great practical effects. Wonderful characters, a memorable villain, where it was like this checklist of all of the stuff that you need for a slasher, and it kind of did it right, you know, right along with it. And it was just such a blast to watch. And yeah, it was just such a good time. And it's kind of trying to find those movies. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of the stuff that does go to theaters, it's one of those cases of being released by a major studio, and there's just kind of too many cooks in the kitchen, where kind of everybody wants something else and nobody has a real clear vision of what they really want, and no kind of creative aspirations with the project, where it's just kind of, you know, oh, we're going to make a cheap horror movie to make a quick buck, versus, you know, some of the stuff that does go to video on demand and direct DVD are more of these kind of, you know, love letters to the genre of filmmakers that grew up on these movies and really want to play homage to the stuff that, you know, have made them the filmmaker they are today.
Yeah, totally.
I think that can actually be sort of an issue too, though, is if everybody's just paying homage, and not everybody does this, but I do sometimes, if everybody's paying homage, then things don't feel like new, like I want to see more of them. Like I don't know. I don't like when everything feels throwback.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that can definitely be a big problem. But I do want to say that VOD has really kind of upped the playing field in terms of just movies coming out. Because, in my opinion, of 2014 thus far, I would say that my top five have been released via VOD. But again, you know, we had Pat Healy on the show just a while back, and you know, it might have just been like rose-colored glasses that I was viewing this platform of distribution with, but apparently, you know, there's a big problem with the system where money's not being distributed to the actors and whatnot. So even though it's been, you know, great cinematically, giving filmmakers a little bit more of a hand to, you know, do as they please with their own project, it's been, I guess, financially hurting the people who have been trying to make those films and being involved in those films. So I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on where you think this is all heading in terms of, you know, distribution and whatnot? Because, you know, it's pretty rare that you even see a horror movie get a theatrical release unless it's, you know, produced or directed by James Wan.
Yeah, you can go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, okay. At least, you know, I can only say what's worked for us at Fletcher Studios. Everything that we've released ourselves has, it's all been self-distribution, you know. We order our DVDs, we go to film festivals, we go to conventions, we get the table, we interact with fans, we talk about slashers, you know, we have our website where it's kind of, I think that that's kind of where it's heading, at least for the lower budget horror movies. And I think that that's great because, you know, what's really worked for us is that, you know, we have that kind of hands-on control where, you know, we can say, this is going to be our cover art and this is where we're going to sell it. And these are going to be the people that have control over it. And we constantly know where our movie is at and who has it and where they saw it. And there's just something about that is really wonderful. And just to kind of interact with other fans of the genre that'll say, like, hey, I bought your movie at Horror Hound, or hey, I bought your movie at Flashback, or we talked at this. And it's kind of making that bond with the horror fans out there that I think really makes it special. And it's not going to work for all cases, but for us, at this point at least, I can't see it doing it any other way.
I think what Kevin and Steve are doing with Slasher Studios is really cool. And I think a lot of people should be doing that because it is so difficult to get movies released. But there are people who are interested in buying stuff that, you know, that maybe doesn't have advertisements on the sides of buses and isn't on TV every 5 seconds. And I think it'd be cool if there were theaters, like there's a lot of privately owned theaters that show revival stuff, but it'd be cool if some of them jumped on and started showing newer stuff, and stuff that, you know, was being made by the creator and sold by the creator. And that would be really cool because it's kind of impossible to get your movie, if it's low budget and independent, wide released, or even limited release, you know, past VOD and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, I know you had a question.
Yes. Since I've been probably just really quiet this entire time, like personally, I'm not that crazy about horror movies and stuff like that. But
you get scared easily.
Yeah, I get really scared. I'm very frightened. I'm a frightened boy. I'm pretty shitty on this podcast. I'm just here for comic relief. So I'm gonna ask you guys like, are pretty much like a general fucking like little boy type question. But like, what are some of like your favorite horror movies growing up?
Like I said, I'm a huge Evil Dead fan. I would watch those things like nobody's business as a
kid.
What
did you think of the remake?
I was like devastated when they announced it, and then they released that one image of Mia in the cellar, and they released the trailer, and I saw the bootleg trailer from New York Comic Con, and I was like, wait a minute, this might be really cool, and I got really excited, and then I went through an early screening, and I saw it, and everybody loved it, and I was so conflicted because I think it looks great, I think the special effects are awesome, and I think the score is like amazing, but for me, I didn't really like the characters that much, and I didn't like most of the dialogue. And in particular, what bothered me is that the possessed people didn't feel like Deadites to me, because like the Deadites of Evil Dead have a certain language, sort of like how, you know, in The Exorcist.
Is that a zombie?
A certain way. A Deadite is, yeah, it's the Evil Dead possessed people.
Oh, I'm such like a little boy. Is that a zombie?
Yeah. No,
kid questions.
The Deadites in the remake, they weren't Deadites to me. They didn't talk like Deadites. They talk like they were ripped out of The Exorcist. And so while I liked so much of it a lot, I'm very conflicted. Like if someone asked me like, hey, should I watch the remake? I'll of course say yes, because so many other people did like it. And I don't dislike it. Like I own it and I've watched it several times and like, there's so much to love, but there's also so much. I'm just too close to the original to really embrace it fully, I think. But I mean, overall, I'd say it's more bad than good for sure, especially when so many of the other remakes are terrible.
Yeah, I went to go see the Evil Dead remake in the theater, and I really liked it the first time, and then I bought it on Blu-ray, and I kind of paid attention to it a bit more and wasn't kind of like hyped up about it, and I was like, eh, you know, not so great.
Yeah, it's got its moments for sure, particularly for me, the sequence with the crowbar and the nail gun, because for me, it's like, Evil Dead, you're trapped in a cabin and your girlfriend's trying to kill you. Like, that is Evil Dead to me. If you're remaking the original and trying to make it scary, that's Evil Dead.
Yeah.
And that was the only scene that I felt really captured that. And the rest of it was, like I said, there's good stuff. I really like Jane Levy. But I hope to God they don't do the crossover movie they're talking about where they bring Ash into it, because I just feel like the universes are so crazy different that for me it wouldn't work.
They've been talking about doing a legit Evil Dead 4 for what now, like 15 years? I honestly don't see that happening. You know,
I think the time passed to do that. I think they should just keep making this new series if they want to continue making Evil Dead movies. And it pains me to say that, but that's really kind of how I feel.
Yeah, I definitely think we'll get an Evil Dead probably 2 and 3 before we ever get a crossover. Since we're on the topic of remakes, what are some of your favorite horror remakes, either past or present?
Well, The Thing, the John Carpenter, The Thing, not the 2011, The Thing, The Fly, obviously. What about you, Kevin?
I agree with both of those. I would also add The Blob to the list. I think that's a lot of fun.
That's a really good triple feature right there.
As for newer ones, I actually really enjoyed, granted, it's pretty much an only by name remake, but two that I really enjoyed were both the Mother's Day remake and the Silent Night remake, where I'm almost to the point where I kind of like it when they take like the genesis of the idea and kind of take the title, but then they just kind of do their own thing with it, especially for those like lesser known horror movies. Because I actually had a really good time with both of those. Silent Night in particular, like, I thought it had a really nice grisly tone to it, where it was kind of almost like deliciously mean-spirited, and there was something about it that, you know, kind of with all the other kind of slashers, especially the stuff that hits like mainstream cinema, it, you know, that all kind of feels very bland, and I had a really good time with that one in particular.
Yeah, and I also want to touch on the point that you know, you hit. I think the 80s definitely did horror remakes the best, but if we're talking like more recent ones, I really enjoyed Maniac with the Elijah Wood.
Yeah, Maniac was awesome.
Yeah, that was really big improvement over the original, in my opinion. And I don't know, maybe you guys will be able to tell me why so many people hated the Friday the 13th remake, but I watched it and I really enjoyed it. I know I'm in the minority on that opinion, but I'm just very curious why there was such backlash for it.
Kevin doesn't like hearing you say that.
Okay, well, I will go on the record to say that I think the first 20 minutes of the Friday the 13th remake is actually really good. I think it's really suspenseful. I think it's fun. I think it gets that tone really, really well. And then, at least for me with the rest of the film, I thought that it just was trying to do too much. I thought that it had a little bit too much on its plate. It was kind of trying to play lip service to all of these different sequels. And I don't know, like, there was stuff about it, that, you know, kind of like the stuff that Austin didn't like with the Evil Dead remake. You know, that's kind of how I felt with the Friday the 13th remake, where all of a sudden, you know, Jason looks like Leatherface and he's got these underground tunnels and he's got this
that
shit that he has tied up because it reminds him of his mother. Like, it was stuff like that that I'm just like, I was kind of rolling my eyes. But there's stuff about it that I enjoy, but I wish that the rest of the movie was kind of that fun tone that first kind of opening act was, and I do think it loses a lot of steam after kind of that opening.
Yeah, it definitely did.
I would agree for the most.
Oh, go
like,
ahead.
Yeah, the opening was really good. I don't hate the rest of it. I think there are moments that are a lot of fun. The only person who has kind of a really fun death though is what's his name? I don't know. The blonde guy from Transformers. He gets like impaled on the back of that truck and driven away, and that was kind of funny. But Like, the rest of it was just too... There's just something bland about a lot of the remakes. But I like the Friday the 13th remake, then I like some of the Friday the 13th sequels, if I'm being honest. I can sit through the remake before I can watch Jason Takes Manhattan. I really don't like that one.
Yeah, no, I definitely felt the same way when it came to, like, the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, which is just fucking deplorable. I couldn't even... I couldn't sit through a minute of that without cringing. That was just horrible.
It's trash. It really is. It's just a waste of my time. And actually, you know what sucks is I feel like Jackie Earle Haley was doing something different and it could have been cool, but everything around him was just awful.
Yeah.
Because I think he's a really good actor. And I think even though, like I said, he was different, like he was trying to do something with it, whereas I felt almost everyone else in that movie, it was just kind of there.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that movie kind of killed his career too, because he was on like a good streak of films for a while, and then once that hit, even though it did very well at the box office, at least for the opening weekend, but after that it was just like, here's RoboCop.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm trying to think. I liked the Piranha remake.
Oh, yeah. Piranha 3D was really good. Yeah,
I thought Piranha was a lot of fun. I really like the characters in Sorority Row. I think a lot of them are funny. I know a lot of people hate that movie, but I thought it was pretty entertaining and kind of fun, even though the twist is kind of lame. But I didn't hate that. I'm trying to think of the other remakes that weren't. I liked The Hills Have Eyes also.
Yeah, that was
actually good
too. Alexander Aja is pretty, sound as a director. What'd you guys think of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake?
I hate it.
What about you?
I really like it.
I actually enjoy the Texas Chainsaw remake. I think that for what it is, especially seeing what trash remakes have gotten since then, it was probably, all things considered, the best movie it could have been. I think it's got some really gorgeous cinematography, and I think the performances are pretty decent. So I know that, yeah, this is definitely one that me and Austin disagree on.
You know what really bothers me is I can't get past a lot of the editing in that movie, and I know that sounds like the stupidest complaint, but it's like things will happen, and I'm like, well, I can kind of tell what went on there, but the cuts were so, there's so many cuts that I can't, and that's my issue with a lot of movies, though, is I hate when they're cutting quickly and everything is shaky and too close up, and I'm like, no, stop. But, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, like, I get why people like it. I've tried to watch it like 4 times in the last like 2 years, and I just cannot. There's just something about it that I can't get into.
Safe to say you don't like the prequel then either.
You know what? I've only seen it once, and I don't remember hating it. So I probably need to watch it again and see how I feel. But maybe it was just because it was different, and it was like I already knew I didn't like the first one, so going into it, I had no expectations. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I totally, I just totally glossed over Texas Chainsaw 3D, which came out, was it last year or the year before?
Yes, and let's never speak of that again.
Now, Kevin, I remember you wrote a review of that, and it wasn't too bad. I remember everyone was trashing it at the time, and your review actually kind of pointed out a couple of the highlights. It was kind of middle of the road. Do you still feel that way, or have you kind of just soured on it or looked at it
better? Yeah, I gave it 2 out of 4 stars. I don't hate it, mainly because after a while, I was kind of enjoying the fact of how insanely inept it was. Where, after a while, like, I was just laughing along with the movie because it was just so stupid. My number one thing with the movie is that don't bore me. You can insult my intelligence, you can do everything else, but just don't bore me. That movie didn't bore me. It did insult my intelligence. It was very stupid, but it didn't bore me.
Yeah.
It felt 8 hours long to me.
What were they going for there? Was that supposed to be a reboot or a sequel, or I don't get it.
Well, apparently it's a sequel, but the main chick should be like 40 or 50 at this point, and she was like 22.
Oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Like, what? No, get out of here.
It kind of reminds me of, like, you know how Night of the Living Dead is public domain? So you'll see, like, every couple of years someone will try to remake it or do a sequel to it, and it'll just go direct to DVD. It felt like one of those. Just completely forgettable.
No, it felt worse than one of those. I hated it. I was so bored and irritated. The opening was good. The 3D of the original was cool. But, you know, that was the credits.
Yeah. So. Mike, what's your favorite horror remake?
I like Stuart Little, too.
That was actually really scary. I didn't sleep for a couple weeks after that one.
I couldn't. No, I haven't. I think the last actual horror movie, was it Evil Dead? The cabin in the woods, or was it Cabin in the Woods?
Well, Cabin in the Woods is different. That's a pile of shit.
No, was it like the demon? It's like a demon possesses this girl, and then she gets like a vine in her pussy or something like that.
Yeah, that's Evil Dead.
Yeah, I saw that with my friends, and I said out loud in the theater, just like, ugh. Like in the beginning scene where it's like, you know, brother meets sister, like, hey, sis. Oh, hey. I was like, I can't fucking watch this. I just wanted to get like go to the bathroom and just sit on my phone. I'd never been into horror movies. I saw It when I was a kid, and I couldn't shit for a fucking week. I couldn't take a shower. I thought when I was going to take a shit, lizard hands were going to come up and, like, grab the shit out of my asshole and then just, like, kill me through my asshole. Just fucking...
Yeah, you should probably write a horror movie because it would be really funny.
Yeah, Stuart Little 2 meets It.
Sold.
I'd watch that.
I feel like that could work.
I just like, I never could get into horror. It's like, ah, she's going to go in the basement. What's going to happen there? It's not like she's going to go downstairs and play Scrabble. She's going to get fucking murdered. Like, I get so mad when I watch them. I get so fucking mad.
So what do you,
for
what
no
do you watch,
reason.
What do you watch then, Mike?
I watch the clouds and the sky, and I sit outside on my front porch all day. And I play Scrabble with my neighbors.
Human interaction. What is that?
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I haven't seen any. Like, my friend said, you want to go see a movie the other day? And I was like, I don't want to see anything. I haven't seen anything. Nothing looks good that's out right now. I don't know. I don't even remember what's out.
Yeah.
This is how much of like a dork I am. I like swords and action. This just shows you my level of, you know, like, stupidity. Just some dumb guy with a microphone in front of him talking into it. like, I really want to see, like, Hercules. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know why. Leave me alone. I'm just like, he has a sword and he's good. Oh, yeah. Like, I just get pumped.
I do stuff like that. Like, I mean, I enjoy the Expendables movies, even though everyone hates them. I like really dumb action movies.
Oh, I love the action where it's like, where it's like a big battle happens. It's like, oh man, you really got him. Oh, we're just getting started. It's like in every fucking act. That was in the trailer for Hercules.
Oh my god.
And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, Hercules looks not so great.
No, it doesn't.
I'll watch it. I'll give them all my money.
To get back kind of on topic.
No, I want to talk about Stuart Little
and
Stuart Little 2.
You can talk to Hercules.
Stuart Little 3. When's it coming out?
It's already out. They did an animated direct-to-DVD one.
Shut up. All right. Stuart Little 4. When's it coming out?
It's Kickstarter.
Stuart Little 4, the final chapter. Kickstart it.
I'm going to start it with an actual mouse, and I chase him with a cleaver around the house.
There we go.
The finale is him getting decapitated.
It's a horror movie.
Yeah. So, lately there's been kind of like a resurgence of horror on television. I know they're talking about doing a Friday the 13th series again, but maybe
musical on ice.
I'm surprised they haven't done that. They did do an Evil Dead musical.
They have fucking Finding Nemo.
Well, relax, calm down.
I'm agitated.
But what do you guys think about the potential of a Friday the 13th TV series and a post-Walking Dead television landscape?
Let's hope it doesn't take after The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I second that, by the way.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of a comic, and usually it doesn't bother me when they make something different than the source material, but The Walking Dead show is just so boring to me, and I don't know, there's just no, the spirit of the comic isn't there, and then the spirit that is there is like, there isn't one.
How long did it take for you to bow out?
I was done 3 episodes in, but I watched the first 6, and then I started to watch the first episode of the second season, and I think it was like an hour and a half long, and I got like 20 minutes into it, and I was like, no.
No,
I'm good. But I've seen other episodes from like season 3, and I was like, you know, this feels like more what I wanted to see. But everyone told me that episode was particularly exciting. And I was like, oh, so they're not all like this? Never mind then.
Well, honestly, you know, I wasn't crazy about the first season. I thought it had its highlights and, you know, definitely its low moments. Season two was just terrible with the exception of maybe two episodes. And it really bounced back with season three in terms of just action and being able to, like, just captivate the viewer. I have not watched season four, so I can't really speak on that.
I love everything.
That's great, Mike.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to give my two cents.
I've been more so invested into Hannibal, at least up to a point in season two. Yeah, Hannibal Buress. Bring it back to comedy.
I haven't watched Hannibal yet, but I hear it's pretty great.
Yeah, Hannibal season one especially has been great. Kevin, what do you think of this whole horror television, you know, trend that's going on right now?
Yeah, I've only seen a little bit of Hannibal, but I really liked what I saw. You know, hey, I say, you know, if it works, it works. As for the kind of upcoming Friday the 13th series, I don't really know what they're going to do with that. I mean, it's kind of, you know, because I don't know if people out there remember that there was an old Friday the 13th TV series that was late 80s, but it had nothing to do with the movie franchise, where it was just kind of this room of these, like, cursed artifacts, and each one had a story, and that was kind of the genesis behind that television show. So with this one, I don't know if they're going to do Jason, if they're going to do Camp Crystal Lake. You know, if they do, and they're at least remotely faithful, well, I can't even say anything, because I know I'll watch it just because it's called Friday the 13th, so...
well, they did that show a few years ago. I've only seen a couple episodes, but Harper's Island, where it was basically the whole season was like a slasher movie, and someone got killed every episode. And I think that's totally, totally cool. And like I said, I haven't seen the whole season, but I wish that had caught on, because I think that is really awesome. And in today's day and age, where, like, people kind of, a lot of the complaints I hear with why my friends don't like horror movies is, oh, like, there's no character development, or a lot of my friends don't even go to the movies because they prefer TV, where they get episode after episode of these characters. And I'm like, that might be the best way to do a slasher movie, because, like, you know, in the movie theater, they're not really popular anymore. Maybe if they did it on TV the same way, but got people more invested in the characters, people would really catch into it. And I think that could be a really cool way to do a Friday the 13th show, but they're, like Kevin said, they're probably just going to take the name and do whatever the fuck they want with it. So I'm probably, I don't know. I don't like most of the horror shows on TV. Bates Motel, I really liked the first season, actually, but season two I thought was just okay. But, like, American Horror Story, I cannot get into.
Yeah, no. I'm not
and
a fan
like
of that
Walking
one
Dead. Yeah, I can't. Most of them I don't like. But I do like Supernatural, and I feel like Supernatural doesn't get enough credit, because Supernatural is the one thing that, even though it is a CW show, like, it, the horror, they take it more seriously, and it's more fun. And they, you want to talk about, like, references to stuff and, like, homage, and Supernatural is chock full of it. Like, you can tell the people making it really are into this stuff. And it, even though it might look like a lot of the Platinum Dunes remakes, it definitely doesn't play like them, and it's just not the same thing.
Yeah. I've only seen a little bit of Supernatural, but from what I have seen of it, it really isn't as bad as at least what other people have made it out to be. My girlfriend kind of forced me into watching a few of those episodes in exchange for all the movies I put her through. So, yeah. Mike, you don't really watch horror TV shows? You've never gotten into The Walking Dead or anything like that?
No, I actually have gotten into The Walking Dead. Actually, when I was in high school, we actually, like, saw a charter school for film. Clearly, I'm into film. We actually would watch The Walking Dead in class, and then we would have to take, like, worksheets on it or some shit like that.
That sounds like a terrible class.
No, that sounds kind of fun, because I would just show up, and then we would just bullshit around in TV, and then I went to school and I watched movies all day. I don't remember doing any homework. I don't remember learning anything. I lost like a year of education. I have no idea how to write a paper now.
But you gained a year of watching the movies. So
I gained a year of selling the school's Wi-Fi password in exchange for $5, just watching Netflix all day.
Well, you spend most of your time watching Doctor Who, don't you?
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Well, you said you were a Who fan.
I'll admit, yeah, I like Doctor Who. I love the
shit out of Doctor Who.
Yeah, I like it because I've always been fascinated with time travel, and you can, it could be like a documentary, a fake documentary about time travel. I would still be into that. That's what I like. I don't like going like, when people are like, I'm gonna create a, like, I'm a, or like, a, what's that shit called? Like fan fiction? Like, no, I don't want to read that shit. I don't give a fuck. Like, what would happen if the doctor met Clara and they had kids? I don't know, because I don't write the show.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. Unless they do it, I don't
know. Show me him going to like a different planet and speaking to the red people of planet like ZXY. Like, that's like, no, that's interesting to me.
No, but there's so many other shows and movies and even like literature that is doing that so much better than Doctor Who.
What? Yeah, but it's not as much fun as Doctor Who.
I like my entertainment dark and depressing.
Yeah, I will say,
that's your
say
fucking
that
house.
I wish Doctor Who got a little bit darker than it does. That's a complaint I have with most things, though. I absolutely fucking hate watching a movie, and at the end of the movie, every single character that we met in the beginning is standing there smiling. It makes me
I love
so
that.
Mad.
I love that so much. I don't want to see anybody die.
I want people to die. I want people to die left and right, and
so
I don't want to see it coming. I want to be like, no, they're dead. I'm in tears. Oh.
If I see, like, if I'm watching, like, I'm just going to call like a sword fighting movie.
Sword fight. We're going to go back to
and
that.
And like,
yeah.
And like the lead, well, not like the lead, like the captain's first mate dies. I'm like, no. Or like the sergeant gets shot. I'm like, fucking no, man.
It makes no sense that you're into that, but you can't go along with like a standard slasher where someone's going into the basement.
Oh no, it's too violent for me, Jamie. I can handle Band of Brothers seeing camaraderie and bravery and just seeing your friends, best friends die. But some bitch walk into a basement, you had me there. I'm not watching that.
But to touch back onto something that Austin said about how he much prefers, you know, characters dying off, that's one of the, like, my main gripes with True Detective is that they didn't have, like, bigger repercussions for the main central cast. Did anyone else watch True Detective?
No.
I've been wanting to so bad and I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch it either.
Catch up, all of you guys. Buy the Blu-ray. Come on.
I don't have cable.
The internet,
Mike. I rarely watch TV. I have to have stuff on disc or on Netflix. Otherwise, I'll miss it.
I don't illegally download anything. That's against the law.
Yeah, I'm terrible at watching new stuff. Like, I'll say, hey, I'll sit down and I'm going to sit down and watch this new movie or this new television show, and then I end up putting in a movie from the 80s that I've seen 100 times, and I know that I'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I kind of honestly.
Yeah, I'm bad at catching up with just TV mostly. Like movies, I usually get through and I get to them, but TV shows, like I started Game of Thrones and I watched the first season in a day, and I was like, this is pretty cool. And then this was like 2 months ago, and then I got season two. I watched half of it, and I still liked it. But I just haven't finished the other half. And I have season three sitting right in front of me waiting to be watched, too.
See, I can't get into that Middle Earth, you know, swords and sword fighting type stuff.
I can watch Conan the Barbarian for hours. God.
I don't know. That and just, like, pure fantasy, I can't really sink my teeth into.
Because you're a boring person. You don't like to think outside the box.
Because I don't like Doctor Who.
No, yeah. You don't like swords and
Hercules.
You know, like,
I'm not looking
forward
to
heroes.
Hercules, so that makes me boring.
I will literally, anything you hand to me or put in front of me, I will watch it. Like, there's some things I'm
two
not
cats fucking
like,
on a DVD on a loop. You're gonna watch it?
If you hand it to me, I'll put it in and see how it turns out.
That sounds great.
But no, like any movie or any show, like if it's easily accessible to me, I'll check it out. But there are some things I go out of my way to see and other things that I do not go out of my way to see. You know, like, But I'll watch any genre, anything. I don't care what it is. I just like movies.
I don't know. You know what? I'm totally open to most, you know, forms of art and creative.
You just say you don't like fantasy.
Except fantasy and Middle Earth.
Well, fucking Batman is fantasy.
Batman
and fucking Quincy Boston.
That's not quite fantasy. That's more.
Yes, it is. It's a cartoon world. Cartoon land.
It's not a cartoon land. Look,
yes,
you watch The Dark Knight.
Shut
and
up,
call that a
child.
Cartoon land.
It's cartoon
land.
Go
but,
sit in the
but,
corner
but,
and watch Stuart Little.
Gladly. Because it is about acceptance. And they brought him in.
I
want to
hang
family.
Up on you so bad.
Please, I got to go. Hang up on me.
On that note.
The phone keeps ringing.
On that note, why don't we wrap up? Do you guys have any plugs?
Kevin?
We got a little bit of everything going on. Dismembering Christmas, check it out on Kickstarter. We need all the support we can get. Like I said, we want to do we want to do all practical effects, you know, no CGI. So it's going to be a return to, if you like 80 slashers, I think you're going to find something to really enjoy with this. But yeah, check out Dismembered Christmas. We also have I have the Slasher Studios podcast on Block Talk Radio, and then slasherstudios.com, where you can check out some updates on our films, and then we also do like movie reviews and stuff like that.
Excellent. Yeah, and I'd just like to add, like, for people who are fans of Don't Go to the Union, or even if people aren't, like, Dismembering Christmas is obviously still a slasher movie, and it's still Kevin's thing, and it's still in the same vein, but it is really different, and so it might be something that people would like to check out, even if whether they enjoyed the previous movies or not, you know. And then also, like, it's gonna be a lot of fun, and it's definitely something that people will be happy they're part of if they donate, I think.
Well, I am definitely very excited to see the end result of this. Kevin and Austin, thank you so much for coming by and
yes,
doing the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. All right. Take care, fellas.
Bye.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye.
And that was Kevin Summerfield and Austin Bosley. Osteoporosis.
That was Jamie talking to two people while a child
screamed on the other line. Yes.
Screamed.
Hercules!
That was you.
I love it. Well, like, you just did like a Rich Voss impression.
3501250!
If you enjoyed this episode of Shooting It, please go to the iTunes store to rate and subscribe.
I was there in the backstage when this light came around. I grew up not a changeling, but when the first time around, I could see all the weakness, I could pick all the faults, but I could see all the